All right. Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Life Point Church. You guys doing okay today? What a blessing to have all of you with us. And especially, I want to say, look into the camera and just say welcome to everyone who's joining us online. We have a big online family. In fact, thousands of folks who watch us through our live stream, podcast, our Facebook Live. And so however you got here today, we want to say welcome. In fact, some of our online crowd come from Arizona, and they're in the house today. So this is our Arizona campus, everybody, right here. And so they're back. Been a part of our church for a long time, lived here, moved away, and now they're back because they know what's up. They know what it is to be here. They're part of a great church in Phoenix with my buddy Jacob, and so good to have you guys, the Royals. Well, thanks again for being a part of this series, and this is the last Sunday in our Impact series. Then we're going to take a break for a summer series in June, and you're going to love that. I think it's going to be a blessing for you. I also want to let you know of a schedule change for us for the next 6 weeks after today. For all of June and half of July, we will be back to a three-service Sunday morning schedule, so 8, 9:30, and 11:15. And we are going to take that break, just slow down on the 1 o'clock service. We had about 250 or so people that left the 11:30 or the 9:30 service to go to that 1 o'clock to make room in the middle two services. And what a blessing that was. Our church grew during this last spring semester, and so we just made room. We always do that. How many of you know this church isn't for us? It's for those who are coming and those who are missing. And so thank you for those that have made room in the 1 o'clock service. But we will take a break for that for the summer, and we know that the fall time comes, and that's our biggest growth season. In fact, we're anticipating anywhere from 500 to 800 people that will come and join our church this fall. And so we need to get ready to make room for them again. Let's start praying for them now. Come on, everybody. Let's pray for them now and believe God that he's going to bring the growth that he wants. It's about his name being made known in this city. Amen. So here we are at the end of our four-week Impact series, and I think it's a series that's helpful to us. I love preaching the last couple of weeks. In fact, 3 weeks ago, we began looking at kind of the basics of impact, that in every part of our lives, our generosity. Impact is the language that we use for our finances and generosity here, and it's been our single-focus funding stream. So 3 weeks ago, we looked at the basics of impact, what it looks like to honor God, God's money, God's way, right? So we want to get out of debt, get on a budget. Hello, how many of you got on a budget for the first time? Woo, nobody. Okay, we'll go back and listen to that sermon again, and without a plan, your money's going to stay in chaos, and so go get on a budget, then get out of debt, and that'll take a while, that'll take a season, of course, and then learn to live on less than you make, save for purchases, and then give money away. Be generous with your life. Be generous with money. Man, it's just something really special to be able to give in ways that you haven't been able to before because you've been giving all your money to creditors. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to get there together. Stay with us. We start our life groups this month or next week, and we want to invite you to join Financial Peace University if you need that as well. Then the next week, we talked about what it means to really let God have every part of us and be in the bucket with Jesus. We tend to manage our lives in buckets and compartments, but really the greatest gift of stewardship you can ever do is give your life to Jesus and let him manage you, right? And so let him have all of you. Let him. It's not your money. It's not your marriage. It's not your job. It's not your sin. It's not your issues. It's all God's. Let him have you, right, everybody? And so we're going to lean into that a little bit more today. I feel like I'm beating a dead horse, but this is one that we need to keep hearing and hearing and hearing again and again. And then last Sunday, first sermon I've ever preached on tithing, like full sermon that I've ever preached on tithing. That's the craziest reaction I've ever seen in my life. You're welcome. You applauded for that. It's great. And the fruit illustration was so fun, wasn't it, everybody? I mean, just to see what God's plan is. And I love that we, if you weren't here, we had two tables out. And one table, we put God's stuff first. We put 1 out of 10 of all these different fruit. And then we put 9 out of 10 over here. And we saw it just falling off the table. So God's plan is that you'd have all that you need to take care of your needs. And then it's an all play. When all of us bring in that tithe to the storehouse, then all of a sudden his table's like falling off the stage. I mean, it's just so much to be able to do everything God calls us to do. I think everything God wants Life Point Church to do, he will pay for it as we obey him in tithing, right? And so that was a great message for us last week. And then today, I'm finishing the series with a message that I've called In God We Trust. It's Memorial Day weekend, everybody. And this is a phrase that we use in our culture all the time. But I want to ask you on the front end, really? Like, in God we trust. Really? We trust God with everything? Do we trust God with our relationships? Do we trust God with our sin? Do we trust God with money? Do we trust God for real? Do we trust God for eternal life or for this life as well? And here's the deal. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where Christianity really takes a rub, because I want to trust God for my eternal living. Hello, everybody. But I need to learn to trust God with my now living. In fact, the Bible says his divine power has given us everything we need to live life and live godly through our knowledge of God who's called us by his own glory and goodness. Then it says that Titus 2, 10 and 11, the grace of God's appeared. God's grace, Jesus Christ himself has appeared to us, and he teaches us to say no to ungodliness, to deny our lusts, and to live upright and godly in this present age. Some of us think, if I can just hang on till the glory train arrives, then everything will kind of smooth out in heaven. But the gospel is about God bringing heaven to earth and you living like you belong to heaven now. And so we say, in God we trust, it's printed on our money, it's printed on buildings. And I just want to ask people that say that, I want to go, really? Do we really trust God? Here's how you know you trust God, because you obey God. Did you know disobedience is a trust issue? Disobedience is a faith issue. Disobedience is, I don't really trust God, so I'm going to do it my own way. I don't trust God that going to church enough is going to change my life. I don't trust God to have a prayer life that he hears me. I don't trust God to give the way he calls me to, because I need to manage my own money. It ain't yours. None of it's yours. So we trust God. Really? Incidentally, I think it's an appropriate sermon title for the Memorial Day weekend. I mean, what a great weekend to honor those. It's always a time of reflection for me. Memorial Day is a time of respect and thanks for so many who have offered themselves. And the phrase I learned when I first started pastoring here is some gave, all gave some, and some gave all, right? And so we're so thankful to all of you who serve in our military and uniformed services. We're particularly thankful for you, yeah. And we honor you. Memorial Day is also a time when we honor and memorialize those who have given the ultimate sacrifice to give their lives for the sake of a nation, to give their lives for the sake of people around the world, the country that they don't know, and in defense of our Constitution. Jesus said, no greater love has anyone than this, that he'd lay down his life for another. Like, the greatest expression of love you can give towards others is to die to yourself to make their lives better. And so Memorial Day is a reminder. It's a very Christian principle, honestly, to give your life for the sake of others. And so we are so grateful to every one of you who serve in any armed services. And here's the thing. You know the calculated risk that you took when you volunteered for that. That you might be to the place where you would give your life for others. And so we thank you for being willing. And for those who have given their lives, we just honor. We thank God for that, and we give reflection to that this weekend. It also gives me pause and time to reflect on what type of commitments and sacrifices that I make in my life that really matter. So many of us who serve, you've said that I'm willing to go all in. I'm willing to go in to serve and protect and even to give my life to defend this nation, to defend our Constitution. And again, we say thank you. But as you read through the Bible, as you read through the Old Testament, we see many battles and many conflicts and many seasons of war and peace. In fact, there's one really famous passage to me anyway, the story of when David and Bathsheba have their whole episode. It starts with the I think it's 1 Samuel chapter, Randy will help me, 20, I can't read your lips this far away. 1 Samuel 12, it's in the Bible. Go look it up, Google it. Look in your concordance, that's what I do a lot. 1 Samuel chapter, 2 Samuel chapter, I don't do sign language. 12. Whatever. Just read your Bible. It starts by saying this. In the season when kings go to war, David was at home. By the way, the whole problem with David and Bathsheba started by being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Anybody ever get caught up in something and you go, how in the world did this happen? Well, it could have been you were in the wrong place in the wrong time. Did you know nothing good happens after 11 o'clock at night? Come on, somebody. So you need to be home at night, you know what I'm saying? 10 o'clock, I'm getting old, I'm almost 40, y'all. 9:15 is late. I'm in my jammies with my tea, looking for the news to come on early, somebody. All right. So as you read through the Old Testament, though, there's all these seasons of war and peace, and so many who gave their lives for the advancement of the nation of God's people, and there was this culture in the Bible to honor and to respect those who have given their lives in battle. But as so many of us are so willing to give our lives to our nation and to put our lives on the line for U.S. freedom and our city through other uniformed services and the police and fire department, what if even more than that, we would put our whole lives on the line and go all in with Jesus? Like, what if we would go all in with him? Here's the thing. Many of you have done a full career. You're getting ready to retire. You're on the way to a full career. What if your whole life was about going all in with Christ and making the greater impact of serving God and serving others? What if we put all of ourselves in the bucket with Jesus in this life with Christ and literally learn to trust God in every area? So we say in God we trust, but I wonder if we really do. And only you know how to evaluate that. I can't judge you to your face about it, and I'm not going to do it passive-aggressively either. It's not on me to judge you. It's between you and the Lord. But you got to ask yourself the question, do I really trust God? And the way you evaluate that again is, am I living like God has called me to live? Am I walking the way God's called me to walk? Am I trusting God with my addictions? Am I trusting God with my baggage? Am I trusting God in my relationship? Do I trust God with my sexuality? Do I trust God with my pain? Do I trust God with my victories? I'd venture to say that we trust God with eternal living, but we struggle with temporary living. And that's what this series is really about. I want to go all in with God because I want to make a greater impact. I want to do more for God's kingdom than my own kingdom. I want to do for him what he's called me to do for him. I don't want to be about building Mike's kingdom anymore. You know what I'm saying, everybody? Okay, we'll get there. So I want to simply say a few things today. Today's not going to be a huge theologically rich thing. This is just kind of reflections of a pastor. If I could sit down on a stool with you and have a conversation, I think it would look like this. First of all, I want us to get on the plan with God. I want us to trust the plan of God. That means we got to know the plan of God. And you can go from cover to cover of the scripture and try to discern. And we hear statements like Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. And all of us respond with, well, what is it? That's what I used to think when I was a young Christian. I'd hear that text. I know the plans I have for you, plans of good and not harm, plans to prosper you and to give you a hope and a future. And I'm like, sweet, what is it? Honestly, I feel like I'm still asking that question. But here's the deal. Here's the plan of God for every person. You ready? Lord, I'm your currency. Spend me at your pleasure. When you say yes to Jesus, then you've said, my life is not my own. You've said, I've been purchased by the blood of Christ. You've said, I don't get to run things anymore. When you say yes to Jesus, you say yes to Jesus as Lord, which means he rules. He reigns. He's the boss. If I say yes to a new boss, I don't get to be in charge of my schedule. I don't get to be in charge of my dress code. I don't get to be in charge of the culture of the environment. I get to say yes to whatever the boss says. And see, many of us want Jesus to be our savior, but we struggle to let Jesus be our Lord. I want him to take me to heaven, but I want to live like I want on earth. But that ain't the way Christ, that's not what Jesus, didn't die to go, I'll see you in heaven, go screw up as much as you want. You know, like, he actually said, I died for that. I died so you don't have to live in that stuff anymore. You don't have to live your way. You can live my way because my ways are higher than your ways. I'm better at being God than you are. There's one king in his kingdom, and it ain't me. I don't share his throne with him. You remember when John and James in the gospel, they were two of the disciples. They were what I'd call the knuckleheads. They were nicknamed the Sons of Thunder. How would you like to be those kids in the neighborhood? You know what I'm saying? Like, who gave them that nickname? You know it was a neighbor. And those kids showed up to Jesus, and they're called as two of the 12 disciples. And you just wonder sometimes, like, Jesus, could you have done an application process for some of these guys? Like Peter in particular, I just want to go, what in the world? Anybody have a boss, you just wonder, like, why do they keep these people on the team? You know what I'm saying? James and John were the Sons of Thunder, and they had their mom come to Jesus one day. I just think that's so funny. Oh, man, the dad's name is Zebedee. It's a great name, too. And mom comes to Jesus, and you know Jesus respects moms. He loves his own mama. Mom comes to Jesus. She goes, Jesus? He goes, yeah, mama. You know, that's where you call your friends moms, too, right? She says, hey, when you come into your kingdom, basically, when you take your throne, when you take your kingdom, can my boys sit on either side of you, left and right side? And you know Jesus was like, really? Really, James and John? And he says to them, unless you're willing to drink the cup that I'm going to drink, unless you're willing to drink the cup of suffering and crucifixion and death to yourself, no, you can't have seats at my kingdom. I don't even get to determine that. And see, many of us want a seat at the kingdom. We want a seat at the right hand of God next to Jesus. And we say, I know that because we keep trying to manage our own lives. But as long as you're Lord of your life, he's not Lord of your life. So the challenge for us is, do we trust God enough to give him lordship? And here's the plan. Lord, I am your currency. Spend me at your pleasure. My money's not my money. My job's not my job. I may be in leadership of a great organization, but none of it's mine. Right? My marriage isn't my marriage. My parenting, my house, it's not mine. More and more, I've been intentionally trying to live out a response to this statement. I talked about it last week. As parents, you know, sometimes we got to just walk away and go, God, these are your kids. And I will gladly give them back to you real quick if they don't change. You know what I'm saying? Like, But we have to live out our, and as I'm coaching pastors and I'm talking to other leaders, I go, look, man, just remember, this isn't your church. It's God's church. So what if our whole life was truly trusting God because we're given to him? We believe in Jesus and that Jesus gave his life for us, so then we surrender. This is the life of a Christian. You ready? Believe in Christ, surrender to Christ. Right. Believe in Christ, surrender. I believe that he saved me, so I'm going to surrender to his salvation. I believe that his ways are better. I'm going to surrender to his ways. I believe he has a plan for this money stuff, so I'm going to surrender this money stuff to him. I believe he's a better parent than I am, so I'm going to surrender my parenting to him, right? And this is why we read into the scripture. This is why we live into the word of God and the will of God. And this is why we need a church that preaches the word of God. The plan of God is that every part of our life we live is a reflection of a life hidden in Christ. We pray because we're in Christ. We serve because we're in Christ. We give generously because we're in Christ. We tithe because we're in Christ. We plant churches because we're in Christ. We say no to sin because we're in Christ. We belong to the church. We go to life groups because we're in Christ. Did you know Jesus hung out in a small group? Like Jesus, the Lord of eternity, enjoyed fellowship in a small group. He hung with God. He hung with the three. And he hung with 12. He did ministry in public, but he retreated in private with a group. So what if we actually began to trust the plan of God for our lives? What if we began to trust that God has something for us and how we live and what we do is a response to our trusting him? What if we begin to trust that the church is part of how we know him? We trust that reading our Bible is part of what shapes us. And what if we trust that having a prayer life will actually be heard from God and shape our faith? I've had people recently, it seems like four or five times I've had people ask me, you know, Pastor, I'm struggling with my faith. I'm struggling to believe. I'm struggling to believe all this stuff and to get it right. And I go, I don't have it all right either. And they always look kind of weird at me like, what? I thought you were the expert. I just say, I'm the expert doubter. You know, I'm the expert guy on the journey. But I'll ask this question back. Any of you that are ever struggling with faith, I'll ask you this question too. How's your prayer life? How's your scripture life? Because the Bible says in Romans 10, build your faith in the scripture. In Jude 1, build your faith in prayer. So if you ain't praying or reading your Bible, of course you're struggling with faith. But do we believe that God's plan of scripture and prayer, I mean, it's Pastor Randy and I laugh. We go, man, every sermon I feel like I'm going to read your Bible, pray, and go to church. You know, like the same three things. But it really is the plan of God. And in God we trust. God, I trust his plan. So, Lord, I'm your currency. You know why I go to church? Because I'm God's son, and he told me to go to church. He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Acts 20:20, he says, we're going to preach in the big church. We're going to preach in our houses. That's why I go to life group, because we do life in groups. Because his plan is better. Lord, I'm your currency. I'm yours. Spend me at your pleasure. Can we just write this on the mirror of our lives every day and just lean into this statement for the summer, right? Second, so we want to learn the plan of God. Then we want to engage the plan of God. How many of you know it's one thing to know it? It's another thing to do it. Come on, I know you know better than that. Come on, everybody. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to do it. James said it like this. Don't you love when I just throw the Bible at you to prove my points? James said, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Isn't it interesting that James said, you're a liar, but you're a liar to you? Like, that's like my number one pet peeve in life. Don't lie to me. I've said before, if you burn my house down, just tell me. Don't blame the neighbor. Don't blame the cat. Just tell me you did it. And then we'll work through forgiveness. You know what I'm saying? But just don't lie to me. It's bad enough when you lie to me. It's worse when I lie to me. Paul says numerous times, don't deceive yourselves, don't deceive yourselves. Every time he says that, listen up, because he's telling you, you lie to yourself about this. But James said, be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word, deceiving yourselves. What's the deception? We think we're all good because we know what the Bible says. No, we get to be all good because we do what the Bible says. Read your Bible? Come on, engage the plan of God. Here we go. I've preached this forever, but before I've preached before, and I truly believe the plan of God for us as a church is to know God and make him known. Know him better through his word. Know him better through prayer. Know him better through scripture. And then make him known. Preach the gospel. Plant churches. Share the gospel of Jesus with other people. Everything about our church is oriented around these two things, really. So we say our mission is to lead people to be fully devoted followers of Jesus. You got to know Christ to tell others about Christ, right? So everything we do as a church is about this thing. So how do we engage the plan of God with our church? Our Sunday services are oriented around helping people know God better, whether you're lost or saved or newly saved or oldly saved, however long you've been saved, we want you to grow in knowing Jesus. right? Our life groups are designed to help you find freedom from all the junk in your lives. I love in the book of Exodus, God says to Moses, he said, I'm going to get them out of Egypt, and I'm going to get Egypt out of them. Some of us been saved, and that's it. Y'all need to get delivered. You know what I'm saying? If you still living like you did before Jesus, after Jesus, Jesus is going, something ain't clicking here. So we want to help you know God and then find freedom, and we do that through our life groups. They're designed to help you find freedom in relationship with other people and their junked out walk with God. You go, well, church has got hypocrites in it. Yeah, welcome to the family. Can all the hypocrites raise your hands? Everyone with their hands down is just a bigger hypocrite. They're liars too. We're all hypocrites. Are you kidding? You know what else is full of hypocrites? Walmart and your family. Here's how you know you're a hypocrite. You keep wearing clothes that don't fit. You know what I'm saying? Like you, anybody got, hey, wait. I do the same thing. How many of y'all got some clothes that you used to fit in, but you refuse to throw them away? Because you're a hypocrite. You refuse to believe the truth about who you are. I'm going to get back in that medium one day. Nope. You're not. Not eating like that, you ain't. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my own conviction. I'm preaching to me, Stephanie. Oh, my gosh. That was not in my notes. I just want to apologize right now. This will be our podcast sermon for sure now. So our Sundays are oriented to help you know God. Our life groups are oriented to help you find freedom in relationships with others. Our growth track is designed to help you discover who you are and how God's wired you. And then we want to get you on a team so you can fulfill the plan of God in your life by serving God through serving others. And let me say, church is a safe place to serve people. Many of us struggle to serve people out of house, like in other places that we're not hired to do it or obligated, but church is a safe place to learn to serve people. It's interesting, door greeters become door greeters everywhere. Like you try to wave in front of Walmart doors, like, here, let me let you in. Why are you doing this? It's my purpose. I don't know. Like, it's part of who I am. But what does it look like to engage the plan of God, to make Christ known, to make an impact in our community, to be generous towards mission, to be serving towards mission? What does it look like to step out of the boat, Peter, and start living your life on mission with Jesus and his mission? I believe it's God's intention that you grow in Christ and give your life to him. Look at what Paul said it like this. 2 Corinthians 5, he said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, remember that language from 2 weeks ago? We're going to be in the bucket with Jesus. If you're in Christ, he is a new creation. Who you were is not who you are. God's making you new, and he's creating you anew all the time. He's always making you new. You look new, you sound new, you talk new, you walk new. The old is passed away. So you got to evaluate if the old person is still walking around. You got to ask yourself, did you really come into Christ? And do you really trust that God can take all the funk of who you were and make it into something less funky? The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And this is from God. Look at this. Who through Christ reconciled us to himself. How do you get close to God? Through Christ. There's no way to God but through Jesus. But guys, I didn't write this. I just preach it. People say, well, you know, there's many ways to God. No, there ain't. No, there's not. There's one way to God. His name is Jesus. There's no other way to God but through the Son, Jesus Christ. All this is from God who reconciled us through Christ to himself and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So who did the reconciling? God reconciled us to himself and then gave us his ministry to reconcile other people to himself. Who's in charge of reconciling the world to God? Now we are. Who's it through? Jesus. Watch. He goes on to say, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him anymore. Now he counted their trespass against Jesus. He put all the sin on Jesus, right? He said, not counting the trespass against him, and then entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. It's like if I quit this job at the pastor of the church and I had my keys and I go, here you go. Here's the keys to my office. Here's the code to the alarm. Here's the access to my computer. It's fingerprint, so, you know, we got to swatch prints. And I go, here's everything you need to do this ministry. Here you go. I'm out. That's exactly what God has done. He said, I've done this work of reconciling and I brought it to the place of Christ, and I'm going to hand this work off to you. This is what Impact is all about. The work of Impact, a church on a mission with Impact, the reason we give, the reason we serve, the reason we do everything in this church is so we can know God more and make him known more. Why? Because God has given us this thing. You want to know the plan of God? Know God, make him known. I am your currency. Spend me at your pleasure, right? We are to make God known. And then look at this. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. That means your whole life needs to look like you belong to another kingdom. God making his appeal through us. You know, ambassadors don't get to go to other countries and act like they're from another country. You can't be the U.S. ambassador to China and act like you're Canadian. Come on, somebody. Can't be walking around there on a horse mounted up. Some maple leaves and a hockey puck in your back pocket. You know what I'm saying? Like, we just don't do that. You live like an American, by God. All right. When you're an ambassador for Jesus, it means you're walking in foreign soil all the time called the world, and you're living like you belong to another kingdom. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal through who? So engage the plan of God. Belong to the plan of God. I'm your currency, Lord. Spend me at your pleasure. Why do we do impact? Because every part of our lives is about making a difference for God's kingdom. We're not our king. He's the king, and we serve the king. We're serving at his pleasure, and everything we do as a church is designed not only to bring you closer to Jesus, but designed to help you bring others closer to Jesus too, because the Bible says so. We serve people because we want them to know people, Jesus. We pray because we want people to know Jesus. We worship because we want people to know Jesus. We do mission trips because we want people to know Jesus. We give because we want people to know Jesus. We serve at Yay Packs and Manna Cafe and Hope Pregnancy Center because we want people to know Jesus. It's not for plaques on our wall. It's for people in heaven. Yes. Finally, then, what are our steps? Our steps of impact. 2 years ago, we actually began an impact series, a campaign, and we called it kind of a capital fundraising campaign to help raise money, designed to help us with capital expansions, to get us out of an undersized building that used to be this building, and then renovate it, gut it, tear it out, and help us get into a new facility, which you're sitting in 15 months later, and ultimately into a position of being a multi-site church, which we now are. And let me just tell you, after 2 years, here's what happened. 2 years ago, our church at the time, which was about 1,400 people, pledged that over 24 months, they'd give $4.7 million towards impact, towards making a difference in our city and our community. $4.7 million was the pledge 2 years ago to give towards impact. It's the single funding stream. You see it on your offering envelope. It's the only place we give. We give all things to impact. It's all one fund. We pay bills out of that. We plant churches out of that. We do everything out of that fund. Today's the last Sunday of our impact campaign. 2 years ago, you pledged $4.7 million. In the last 2 years, you've given $6.5 million to impact for kingdom expansion. Come on, everybody. That's amazing. Way to go. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You've given $6.5 million, and here's some of the things that we've done out of that. I'm excited to tell you, in those past 24 months, you've given $2 million above what you pledged towards the vision and mission of God for this church. And through your giving, listen to this, we've been able to build a new facility, pay $500,000 in additional expenses like parking lots, because all of a sudden we opened a building and you told people about it. And then we had to park them. So we had to add $300,000+ worth of parking. We paid it with cash. We paid over $500,000 in extra expenses with cash instead of borrowing more money. We've planted two churches with cash money and been able to save up an emergency fund. Man, let me tell you something. We have a great board of trustees here, and they insisted, and we did it. We saved up to have 6 months of an emergency fund put away in case of a major catastrophe. Can somebody say, praise the Lord? Come on, somebody. This is awesome. So we began our impact initiative 2 years ago, and it's been amazing to see what God's done through you. And today I want to invite every one of you who are new to the church in the last 2 years. Maybe you're new today, and you go, oh, man, I came today on a money day. No, this is a Kingdom of God day. This is a God, you are my Lord. I'm here to be spent at your pleasure kind of a day. I want to invite everyone to take some basic steps forward towards kingdom advancement, towards kingdom purpose. Here's what we know. We got some debt to pay off, but we got some churches to plant. We got some missions to send. We want to do 52 trips a year in missions. We want to plant campuses around the country where you're giving PCS. We'll let the government move you, and we'll let us move us. You know what I'm saying, everybody? We want to plant churches at 5 of the army posts where God keeps sending you people. But we... Did I say God keeps sending you? Well, you think the government's doing it, but we're praying that God strategically place you where he wants you. Because the government's on his shoulders, says the Bible. But we can't do that without all of us being on mission together with impact. We want to do 52 trips a year in missions. I'd like to fully fund a missionary one day. We're gonna do kingdom work because kingdom work matters, because we're reconcilers to God, because God has called us to do that. Here's what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He said, each one of you must give as you've decided in your heart. Now, here's what this means. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. Not arm twisting you. We're not going to manipulate you. We're not going to show pictures of kids from Kid Point. You know, just hungry. For God loves a cheerful giver. So you need to decide in your heart how you're going to give. Now, here's what that looks like for us. I go to the scripture and I go to prayer. And I do what God tells me. And I've decided that whatever God tells me to do, I'm going to do. Because I'm not mine. I'm his. So I don't get to be the creative genius here. I don't get to go, well, God, I know your word says this, but I think. So here's what it means to go and do what you've decided in your heart. Decide that you're the Lord's and you're in his bucket and he can spend you as he wants. And for some of us, we need to go to prayer and see in the word this constant sense of generosity towards tithing and giving beyond that and go, Lord, I'm going to take these steps forward and I'm going to just decide that as you've called me this direction, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to put my faith in you. I'm going to take the risk and get out of the boat, and I'm going to make a step forward in my generosity. Some of us need to take a step forward. I'm going to give my time the way God's told me to, which means I'm going to serve people, which means I'm going to spend time in prayer and hours in the Word every week. I want to spend, how many of you think it'd be cool if you spent 2 hours in the Word between now and next Sunday over the next 7 days? I mean, that'd be great for some of us. We've never done that. And so we're just going to decide in our heart how we're going to give, and we're going to decide to give obediently, and faithfully, and regularly. So let me give you some ways to do that. Are you ready? Write this down. Number one, we're going to give by deciding our heart to go all in with Jesus. By the way, if you're not a follower of Christ, we want to invite you to do that. Commit yourself to go all in with Christ. Give your whole self to God. You know what? This is the summer, and things are kind of chill at work, and folks are vacationing, and all that kind of stuff. And so this is a safe time to say, God, I'm going to go all in with you for the summer. I'm going to yield my life to you. I'm going to give my time in prayer. I'm going to get up early. I'm going to stay up late. I'm going to take my lunch breaks, and I'm going to do them different so I can give my life to Christ and get in your word, get in prayer. Want to grow in your faith, grow in your Bible reading, grow in your prayer time. Be filled with the Holy Spirit every day. Ask God every morning to say, Lord, fill me today with your Holy Spirit. Number two, go all in with your church. And some of you are visitors today, and we just want to tell you, if you say, I'm looking for a church, you found one. Quit looking. We're glad you're here. We're all jacked up. And we're welcome to have more jacked up people, too. If you're jacked up, you'll fit right in. If you're looking for a perfect church, you ain't gonna find it. We're just a bigger imperfect church. So come on, be jacked up with us. But go all in with your church. Attend regularly. Be in a life group. 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 Biggest thing we do is Sunday, but the best thing we do is life groups. Be in a life group. Join today. You can join in the lobby right now. Pastor Mark's standing out there ready to receive your sign up. Join a group. Join a group. Go to life group. Go to group one. Be in a life group. And if you haven't done that yet, then you should be in a life group. Invite people to your church. Pray for your church. Pray for your pastors. Pray for the staff here. You know what? We're all jacked up too. So pray for us because we're jacked up. Number three, serve God by serving people. Join the dream team. Give us 4 weeks. Go through Growth Track. Today's step four, Growth Track, by the way, and some of you are going through that today. I'm so excited for you. Do something for someone else. Be a blessing. Do for one what you wish you could do for others. Be a blessing to your neighbor. Bring a coffee to your boss. Mow your neighbor's grass just because. Open doors for people, not only physically, but in life. Make way for others to be great. Make a place for others to be blessed and to be made bigger. Serve your church. Join the dream team. Jesus said, even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve others. So if you want to be like Jesus, serve people. Number four, become an impactful giver. Amen. Become a giver. But be an impactful giver. Be particular. Say, God, I'm going to decide in my heart today I'm going to become an impactful giver because I believe this church is on mission in the right things. I want to give towards the things that matter. The tithe is the Lord's. I'm going to bring that to the storehouse like the fruit on the table. I'm going to bring that. I'm going to decide to do that. And here's what that looks like. First, you can become a regular giver if you're irregular. If you're a random tipper and you just throw a 20 in because you got it left over, become regular. Put it in your budget. Make it a part of your life. Number two, become a faithful tither. I'm not going to police this over you. That's between you and the Lord. But just decide, I want to be an impactful person in my life. I want to be an impactful giver. Then become a regular tither. Hey, can I just encourage some of you own businesses? I bet God will bless your business if you give some of that back to him. It's amazing when I hear folks who say, we started tithing on our business, and we thought it'd be the craziest thing ever, and then God blessed the business. You ever heard of Chick-fil-A? They give a seventh of their time off a week. They ain't struggling. Anybody else? always only want Chick-fil-A on Sundays. That's the only day I ever think about it. It's the truth. I'm like, man, I could really use a deep fried chicken sandwich right now. And then these are two things that I want to introduce to you language-wise, okay? Become a kingdom builder. Everybody say kingdom builder. Here's what I believe. Everything that we God wants to do in-house, God will pay for through the tithe. But remember in Malachi 3, he said tithes and then offerings? And I think everything that happens beyond the tithe is about building the kingdom in other places. So we want to pay for this church through tithing. We want to pay for God to expand his church through kingdom building, through offerings beyond the tithe. You don't give offerings till you brought your tithe, but then everything beyond the tithe becomes a kingdom builder thing. That's how we plant new churches. That's how we start new missions outposts. That's how we build Bible colleges around the world. That's how we're going to do beyond this kingdom. We're going to start expanding into God's kingdom and start having the funding mechanism to do that. So we're going to have new offering envelopes printed and new categories online for you to give where you can bring tithes to the Lord. And then an offering is now going to be called kingdom builders. You say, man, maybe it's once a month or at Christmas you get a bonus or, you know, your birthday or tax return season. You go, no, you know what? I tithe off this stuff, but I want to give a little bit more because some project came up for our church or YAPACS needs some stuff. And so I'm going to give it and I'm going to call it, that's kingdom builder giving. And we want to make a difference for God's kingdom outside of this kingdom because we believe his kingdom's better than ours anyway. And so we're going to call it kingdom builder, become a kingdom builder. That means a beyond tithe giver. And then fourth, and this isn't going to be for everybody because not all of you want to do this and that's not in you to do it. If you go through our growth track, you'll learn there's God's wired you in certain ways. And some of you, the book of Romans chapter 12 says, have the gift of giving, a spiritual gift of generosity. In fact, in Romans 12, it talks about if you have the gift of administrations or helps or preaching or leading. And then he says, if you have the gift of generosity, give generously. And so we've actually started a new dream team at our church. Anybody's welcome to self-identify and join this dream team. It's not an exclusive club. There's no special rights or anything like that. But you're going to hear about this language for our legacy team. And these are people who say, you know what? God's given me extra, and I want to be able to put it not into my own barns, but I want to be able to make a difference and leave a legacy of difference making. And so maybe you would feel compelled and called by God to join our legacy team. And that's going to be a team of people who feel a gift of generosity in their life, and they want to give specifically to things beyond the scope of this building. They'll be giving towards capital projects like building expansion or growth or debt reduction or new campuses, next generation stuff. How many of you think it'd be cool to have Christian education in our city, you know, and things like that? Or I'd like to send, hey, this would be cool, send every fifth grader on a missions trip. Every fifth grader, we'll just send them because we just paid into that, right? Or every junior in high school to just get the taste of missions in their lives for a spring break mission trip. And we just fund it. We just send them or a portion of it. Then we're going to do U.S. and world missions. Those are kind of the four lanes of legacy team. And so I don't care how you do it. Everybody take a step. That's what we're asking you today. Come on, let's stand together. And how many of you agree with that opening statement? In fact, can you go back on the TV so I don't have to click through? Go back to that third slide where it says, I am your currency. Spend me at your pleasure and just leave that up for me. Come on, everybody, just lift your hands to the Lord. God, this is our declaration today. Lord, we are your currency. Spend us at your pleasure, God. Nothing we have is ours. We're truly going to trust God today. I trust the Lord. I'm going to trust you with money. I'm going to trust you with my time. I'm going to trust you with my whole life, my parenting, my family. God, we're going to give our whole selves to you. And so, Lord, today we commit to take a step. Would everybody pray this with me? Say, God, I trust you. Come on, say it again. Say, God, I trust you with my whole life, with every part of me. So say, I'm going to take a step. Call me forward. I will step. I trust you. I believe in you. I'm coming. Now, Lord, would you draw us close to you? I pray that everyone in this room would yield their lives completely to Jesus, be filled by the Holy Spirit. God, that they give as you've called us to give. We're going to decide in our hearts today to give generously as you called us to, with tithing and offering and kingdom building and legacy team. God, however you're calling us forward, that we are going to do these things. And Lord, we're going to go all in with our heart, with our serving, with our time, our talents, Lord God, every part of us in Jesus' name. Lord, we surrender to you. We are your currency. Spend us at your pleasure. In Jesus' name.